Let me go to Seamus Rowe, 51551, joe@rt.ie. Seamus, good afternoon. Apparently these mysterious headstones have been popping up, which is too small a word because they are pretty formidable landmarks, expensive landmarks, popping up in various locations around the country. Tell us about the one that you know of, Seamus.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, this is at Smarmore near RD. It's about 3-4 miles out of RD.
Okay.
It appeared last year, 2016. From what I know from hearing of other items, I think it appears to have a similar wording and possibly the same, come from the same person or erected by the same person.
Well, your one says, I'm reading it here, that's you standing, it says, sacred to the memory of the starvelings of 1845-1850 interred here, including in cartloads from RD Workhouse, when British regiments, including the 6th Dragoon Guards, the 17th Lancers, removed livestock, grains, meal, etc. from this parish. So it's a general memorial to the famine, but there's no one... Is it over the graves of famine victims?
Well, we really don't know that, Joe, and indeed we probably have significant doubts as to whether indeed there were any burials there of famine victims.
Because you're involved in the County Louth Archaeological and Historical Society, Seamus, I know that, so you wouldn't know. By the way, were cartloads brought from RD Workhouse when British regiments, including the list there, were present when they removed food from the area, from this parish? Is that little story true?
We have no evidence of that at all, Joe.
Have you heard it before in the area?
We haven't heard that. Certainly, there is recollections of bodies being taken from the workhouse to other graveyards near RD. The workhouse is situated in the town of RD. And we understand that there might have been up to maybe 500 burials at the site of the workhouse itself. Other evidence would suggest that some may have been brought to nearby graveyards, which would be at Shanless and Stakillen. But they would be within a sort of a mile radius of RD.
And apparently, by the way, has anyone any much these would cost? They are expensive. They're being put up by mystery erector, so to speak, are they? Do you know who put it up?
We don't know. We understand it was an American gentleman, but we don't know his name or his details.
Yeah, but surely he had to come along with a crane and stonemasons and cement mixers and diggers.
Yeah, yes, it's a very substantial monument. If you add in the concrete base to it, it's close on 5 feet high and very substantial granite monument. Very expensive to create, to construct and to put in place. And as you say, there would probably have had to have been heavy machinery to put it in place. We do understand that the caretaker of the graveyard was approached and was asked for some information about the graveyard generally as to what burials were generally in the graveyard. But to our knowledge, there was no permission or consent sought that we know of. We understand that the graveyard would be in the care of the County Council.
Okay, and apparently they've also appeared in Belmullet, near Killala, second Lisnabinia, Kilglass, Kilbegnet, Kilkeven and Castlereagh. So I just wonder, one, that there's obviously, they all cost a few thousand, and presume in terms of erection that would bring it up to a substantial figure. And none of the memorials say erected by any group in particular?
No, there's simply a date, 2016, marked on the stone. But other than that...
There's also a cross, a Christian cross on it as well, isn't there?
Yes, there's a plain cross there. And a quotation from Genesis in Irish at the top. But no, there was no indication as to who put it there or why they put it there. And we don't... Even the reference to British regiments removing livestock, grain and meal from the parish, as I understand it from your researcher there, similar wording appears in some of the other headstones that have been put up. Again, we would have no information or evidence that that in fact occurred in this area that regiments would have removed.
So it may be factually incorrect.
It may be. We'd have our doubts. We don't have any evidence to support it, certainly. Nobody has. You might expect, perhaps, say that someone who was planning to do something like this might approach local historians or local persons to inquire and see what stories were available or what evidence was available.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that this person doesn't have evidence of that, but we're not aware of it.
Okay. And if there is evidence, you'd love to know, because that's what you do. You're the Louth Archaeological and Historical Society, and that's your passion, and being accurate is one of your fortitudes as well. Okay, yeah. Seamus Rowe, thanks indeed. That's Seamus Rowe above near RD in Scaramore. And as I say, these mystery monuments have been appearing all over the country in Greta, and how they're getting into the graveyards and being erected. I presume when someone arrives to erect a headstone, people think that's normal business and no one bats an eyelid.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
51551 is our text number. Brendan McGlone, back to the mystery memorials and monuments that are turning up around the country. Brendan, you're a monumental sculptor.
Hello, Joe.
Who were you approached by, Brendan?
The gentleman's name now, I just can't retrieve it off the top of my hand, but it is one gentleman in question, and his wife. I got an email. I guess he's just googling monumental artists and sculptors around the country. So I got an email, and basically I had a little brief background about who he was, what it was about, and these famine memorials, you know. So my ears pricked up, thinking, it's a nice wee job, but they're not that substantial anyway, by what I see, what he was asking me to make, you know.
Mm.
He sent me down two examples, and, you know, two images, and they were no bigger than a sort of, possibly were about 3 feet high, granite, with the body of text, which was reading similar to the other gentleman. He did mention the different regiments of the British Army that had taken grain, you know, to various places. He also said that he had researched this in the British War records, you know, so he has researched it, but the generic sort of, stealing grain and taking it away seems to be on them all.
Okay, but Brendan, did he say where he wanted to site them? Like, surely you need permission.
Well, he did. Well, actually, he said it'd be up to my own sort of choice to where to go, because, you know, he's in America, so I'd be researching. So, basically, I live in Kinloch, right, Bundoran. And he says, if there's any famine graves in your area, then they're where I would like them, you know.
Okay, so he said, would you pick the spot?
More or less, yeah.
And would you say to him, surely, maybe you tell me, surely you have to get permission and...
Yeah, well, I did, you know, because I fit headstones and the like, and I know the protocol, so I mentioned it to him. Now, he said sometimes these famine graves are actually on private land, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not always on...
They subsequently become private land,
state ground or, you know, religious ground, so... but he was saying that that's a place where some of them are being erected. He didn't really mention anything about proper graveyards, you know. But you need permission of some degree, you know.
And by the way, did you say yes to the
offer? No, I didn't. And I didn't say no because I thought he was a con man.
Well, he's not that, I'm sure. But,
no.
But did he say to you, this is the budget?
Yeah, he gave me a ballpark. And, you know, he's talking about 2,500.
Okay. Well, so far I think there's 2, 4, 6, 7 of them we've heard about now through the phones here around the country. And you say you said no. Why did you say no for a finish?
Well, because it's not my kind of, you know, it's not my forte. It's like going in and asking John Costello to make a cheap suit or something, you know. My work's a bit more higher end, and the work that is being produced in all these monuments is sandblasted lettering.
Okay.
So my lettering, again, I pushed the hand carved lettering.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
You know, so. And then, but I did ask him if I could use Arrow, an indigenous stone of my area.
Oh, of course, yeah, really.
But I says for this, and for to do a more creative monument, but keep the body text the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd need to add some more money onto it, you know. But other than that, I'm not interested. Go down the road and get just Joe Blogg, he'll sandblast it out for you. You know, but that was the general budget. The piece in question that gentleman talked about, you know, it's substantially bigger than what I was being asked to do. You know, so it may well be somewhere in the region of 4,000 or 5,000, you know.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Again, it's a bit overpriced, and but yeah, the sentiment's nice, I guess. It's just whether or not the facts are true.
Okay, Brendan, hang on, because I'm told now we have the man who did phone you, and his name is Chris Gogarty.
Yes.
And Chris Fogarty, and he's based in the USA. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And is it yourself?
Yes.
And tell us what you're doing.
Well, my wife and I have learned to oppose genocide. We are anti-war activists in the States here in Chicago.
Okay.
And we do our best to try to end murder, but particularly genocide.
Mm-hmm.
In doing my grandfather's biography back in the 1960s, I found that the regiment that he joined in 1858 had removed the food from South County Galway to the port of Galway for export when he was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age. I was shocked because in school in Castlereagh County, Roscommon, I'd been told it was a famine due to the failure of a crop. Once I found out that one regiment was involved in removing the food, I studied further and found that more than half the British Army were in Ireland from 1845 through 1850, and that was their main function. Lord Clarendon said that but for the escorting of provisions, that the army in Ireland would have little to do. So we then noted that the neglected, completely abandoned state, usually unmarked state of those mass graves, containing many of them thousands of people. And mostly, the biggest ones, of course, are in the workhouse yards, the grounds of the workhouses across the country. We, again, in attempting to stop the government policies of genocide, we're monumenting those, partly in sympathy with the people who had been murdered.
Okay, and the wording, have you got the wording of, have you the same wording on them all, Chris?
The same wording is from Cain and Abel, Genesis 4:10. What have you done, said the Lord? Listen, the blood of your brother calls out from the ground. That's on all of them.
Okay.
But different regiments remove the food crops from different parts of the country. So it all depends upon the different regiment. We get the regiments also correct.
But the point that was made earlier on by the person that alerted us to this, is that the narrative that you put on the headstone up in RD has not been verified by any historian, or indeed local or otherwise.
I know that the organized historians of Ireland seem to exist only to exonerate the British from whatever they did in Ireland.
Well, hang on, Chris. Like, let's carve that statement in stone and demolish it. What does that mean?
What I mean is that the Irish academia and organized historians
and mass,
they operate in order to falsify history.
Oh, God.
There's one academic
How many of these memorials have you erected?
I'm not sure.
Well, have you sure? You're paying for them, aren't you?
I am indeed.
So many,
my wife and I.
Okay, fair. And many have you paid for?
All of them.
Yeah, how many is that?
Well, you're the one calling me semi-accusing me.
Chris, hang on a minute, you're saying these are public memorials making a very important statement that no one else will make because there's a conspiracy or whatever. You're saying they're so public and the statement is so important that you won't tell us where they are.
Why did you call me?
To find, because we got your name as you were the person that was putting up the memorials.
Well, if you know that, and you also called somebody from your station, Chris, one of my monument makers yesterday.
Yeah, but Chris, we're not turning this into a quiz, like, or
what
a treasure.
What you're trying to do is intimidate people. You're trying to intimidate me and the monument makers of Ireland to stop erecting those memorials.
So why would we, and how do you feel intimidated by me?
But the accusatory nature of your voice.
Okay, well then, do you want to ask the question I asked then? In your own voice. And the question is, where are these public memorials?
They're over the mass graves of the people who were murdered in 1845 through 1850.
Okay, and how many of them are there?
Quite a few. There are in my map showing the mass graves of Ireland, there are about 180 of those mass graves, but that's only a fraction of the total.
Okay, and how many memorials have you erected?
I'll leave that for you to discover.
But you're saying this is, and I know the argument, this is a genocide. Your mission in life is to expose genocide. Your mission in life is to highlight where genocide happened. You're now on the second biggest radio station, second biggest radio program in Ireland.
Yeah.
And you won't tell us where these things are. You're turning it into a little treasure hunt.
Why are you trying to create objections to my installation of those monuments? And by the way, many other people are organizing to do the same thing.
It's just a mystery. That's all. We often do it on Liveline. We try and solve mysteries.
Yeah, you're trying to create a mystery, a controversy about what all people who respect life should be joining me in. We should be respecting those people who were murdered and not obliterating their mass graves.
Yeah, but you're saying join in the memorial to this...
No, people. I'm asking people to install memorials over the neglected and abandoned mass graves in their own communities.
Yeah, and you won't tell us how many you've done or where they are.
This is more like an inquisition than a...
Well, Chris, hang on. I ask anyone listening, and I will check myself again if I have to. How could you proposition this as an inquisition? How could you say such a thing? Do you know what the word inquisition means? You do, of course. You're an educated man.
I hear the tone of your voice, and I know that there is official opposition in Ireland to these monuments.
I only heard about them today. How could I?
How could you have heard about it today when you called me previously?
I heard it about today. I present the programme. I deal with the issues that I'm going to be dealing with on a given day.
Okay.
That's what I research and read up on and given information on. This is the information I was given today.
Okay.
One of the monument makers
that your show called yesterday, who has done work for me, he'll tell you what he has installed. Okay. And if you find other monument makers with whom I've worked, and I've worked well, and we've gotten along well, and they've done fine work, once you find who they are, they might tell you how many they have installed.
Okay, by the way, I checked myself. I did mention it in the scripted promo yesterday, but as I say, it didn't come up, but I didn't read into it fully until this morning, when I knew there was a possibility, that we get to it. Let me bring in Christine Keneally, who's a famine historian and director of Ireland's Great Hunger Institute in the Quinnipiac University in Connecticut.
She's a cover-up. She covers up the role of the British Army.
Hang on, Christine. Chris.
Yes.
You were live on Irish National Radio. Do not call anyone else names.
I'm just saying that Christine Keneally conceded the role of the British Army in removing Ireland's food.
This is an allegation. Okay. Now, Christine, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Hi.
Christine, anyone who reads Irish history knows your acknowledged work and acknowledges your verified work as well. So we'll park that for a sec, Christine. Christine, are you aware of this phenomenon now, these memorials that Chris Fogarty is erecting around Ireland, but he won't tell us where, even though they're public memorials? Are you aware of them, Christine?
I've become aware of them very recently, but for the last 20 years, I've been aware of Mr. Fogarty's research and his accusations against the British Army and his map of famine graves. So I am aware of Mr. Fogarty's work, yes.
Okay, and what do you think of this point he's making, that it was a genocide, that there's a... Now, I've heard the word genocide used before about the Irish famine, but there seems to be a conspiracy among every Irish academic historian to ignore this fact.
Yeah, and I think they're very emotive words. The genocide issue, anybody who knows anything about genocide knows it's a 20th century term that is a legalistic term, and that at the time when the came up at the Geneva Convention asked for it not to be applied retrospectively. But it is a highly legalistic term, so it isn't one that should be used loosely. A separate issue is this so-called conspiracy of historians.
Yeah.
Anyone who has studied in Ireland, who has read any Irish history, knows that Irish historians agree on nothing. So to think there's a conspiracy is really ridiculous. I think it's discourteous. And it really is a denial of the very good research that's been done over the last 20 years. And research that has been very much opening up the whole revisionist nationalist debate. And I really don't know where Mr. Fogarty thinks he fits into this by really just throwing out these very loose accusations, when, as far as I can see, he has really done very little original research himself.
And Chris,
I would encourage people to read my book. It is taken directly from the British government's National Archives in Kew, outside London. It shows which British regiment was in which part of Ireland at what time. It shows the amount of food that was taken at gunpoint out of Ireland. Meanwhile, your research shows that you denied in Fortnightly magazine, you wrote about the myth of food being removed from Ireland. And the myth passed glibly down from generation to generation in Ireland, your words, in Fortnightly magazine. You denied the entire criminal operation. Now, you have abandoned many of your early words, but you continue. You're now in the States.
So are you, Chris.
Yes, yeah, but however, my work is absolutely based. It is based upon official documents. I don't make up stuff. I don't conceal the British Army's role in this. The important part in all of this is to get the truth out about the people who were murdered. Mm-hmm. It is a shocking fact that they were first murdered, and they have been slandered ever since, in the same way that Cecil Woodham Smith was slandered for 30 years after she wrote her groundbreaking book, The Great Hunger, in which she mentioned 13 of those food removal regiments. She broke the taboo in Ireland. Those regiments were never supposed to be mentioned. But Cecil Woodham Smith did mention them, and she paid the price. She was slandered for decades later.
Christine?
So can I just say, in regard to Cecil Woodham Smith, I'm a great admirer of her. I've just written a chapter in the book, Women and the Great Hunger, about Cecil Woodham Smith. I've actually used her papers, and I really understand where she was coming from. I've also, unlike Mr. Fogarty, used the papers of Lord Clarendon. I was one of the very first people to give the quote, what Lord Clarendon said about the British Army would have nothing to do unless they were exporting food from Ireland. So to say I have denied that is so untrue. I've also written about the massive amount of food being exported from Ireland. In 1997, I had an article in History Ireland. In 2000, I had a whole chapter in another book. I think I'm the only historian who has actually looked at the bills of lading, which exist in Liverpool archives. No other historian has used them. So
that's false.
I have written about food exports. As far
you haven't, you haven't done so on the basis of it was being done at gunpoint. You have concealed the at gunpoint nature of the food removal. You do not mention the British regiments.
I have mentioned the British regiment. Yes, I have. Please go and read what I've written.
Okay, well,
of course, I've mentioned them.
Okay, Chris, do you need permission to put up these memorials?
Yes.
And who do you get permission from?
The monument maker gets that permission.
The monument.
Now, I know you're trying to intimidate the monument makers, but so be it. Maybe some of them will have the courage to stand up.
I just find that statement so outrageous. Are you saying I rang monument makers and said you're stone mad doing this?
A monument maker yesterday told me about having been phoned by someone from RTE1.
Yeah, that's allowed, yeah, that's allowed. That's called research.
Yeah, and yeah. So if you ask me, happened yesterday.
You're saying that monument makers were intimidated. Well, they were phoned by RTE and were told take down those monuments,
Don't falsify things, please. Monument makers have been intimidated away from doing their work. One is in Belmullet, County Mayo, and the other in Killaly, County Louth. They have been intimidated from doing the work by the, and this is strange now, by the local parish priest in both cases.
And he works for RTE, does he?
Who are you talking about?
You're saying 2 seconds ago I was intimidating monument makers. Now you're saying
that's what this show is about. It's an attempt to delegitimate what we're trying to do. You have Christine Keneally on there who never mentions the food removal.
And I'm sure the PP hasn't intimidated anybody. And Christine, by the way, Christine has mentioned food removal.
I mentioned it, but buried under thousands of other words.
Hang on, Chris. Chris, unless I've lost the few marbles I've left, you said a few minutes ago, sorry, 30 seconds ago, can we even get the tape back? Christine Keneally did not mention food removal. I said, Christine Keneally did mention food removal. You said, yes, she did mention food removal, but it was in under 2,000 words. So she did mention food. You're contradicting yourself.
Is everyone in America
Chris talking like Donald
that it was
Trump
done at gunpoint? Now this you're is, trying to see to stop the people from
no,
learning
you're
the facts
you're,
of the
you,
matter.
You're take this as a compliment or an insult. You're sounding like Donald Trump. Contradicting yourself now. Left, right, and centre. Is that a compliment or an insult? Fake news.
I recognise that this is a hostile interview.
Because you're the one who I hadn't been 2 minutes into asking you. I thought maybe I've lost my mind. Maybe I'm infected by Jonathan Paxman or something. I thought I was asking you a very basic question. These are public memorials. Where are they? And then you accuse me of harassment and intimidation.
No, I'm accusing you of trying to intimidate the monument makers in Ireland from taking their honest work and putting up honest memorials.
Okay, but how? How? And then when I asked you this 5 minutes ago, you said it was the PPs. It was a parish priest or something.
There are two parish priests. One in Killaly County, one in Louth.
Yeah,
but you're not listening to what
I'm telling you. Yeah, because you're about to try and defame people. I don't know. You're making allegations against people.
These are facts about the genocide. By the way, I'd like to mention my book for people to learn the facts
of
the matter.
Absolutely.
Ireland, 1845, 1850, The Perfect Holocaust and Who Kept It, quote, Perfect, unquote. It's available in Dublin and in the States.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, and are you coming back to Ireland soon, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. And you still won't tell me where these public memorials are?
You know, I think I'll leave that for the people to discover. And it's not very many. I wish there were more, but we are meeting a little opposition from people like you.
Have I expressed an opinion on them? Paula Stead, Paula, five. Say there if you would, Chris. 51551. Go ahead, Paula.
First, as an outlet, it's a book I wouldn't be buying anyway. But I just want to say I'm not coming at it from any historical.
By the way, why wouldn't you buy it?
Because I don't like the tone of your voice for a start. So I don't think I'd like the way you write. But also,
how
I just
think... How do I write?
No, I'd like to speak now, sir. You've had the line there for a little while. I just, you know, I live in Ireland. I've lived through... born in the 60s, lived through the Troubles, newsflash with all the bombs. I think what you're doing is actually creating an unpleasant atmosphere. If there are facts there that the British Army did that, you know, let them come out in your book. And I think if you want to put a memorial up to the people that died, could you put something nice, rest in peace? We're trying to move on. The north of Ireland is still going through the motions of trying to get, you know, a solid working peace where everybody can live together. And I think what you're doing is not helpful to the situation.
In what way does covering up genocide bring peace?
It's the tone of what you know, putting down that they stole the grain or took the grain under gun control or whatever you wrote on the mine.
I never said they stole it. Well, it was done openly by force of arms.
Well, that's not helpful now. That can be put in a book somewhere.
Why is the truth not helpful?
I'm saying a monument isn't helpful, putting that...
Why is the truth not helpful? Those mass graves have not been marked at all.
The truth can be there, but I think you have some people can take the truth and move on. Other people take the truth and think it's another reason to start another war. And if you don't
live
here...
So you think the truth is dangerous then? Is that the idea?
No, I didn't say the truth was dangerous. I said the truth for some people. You can look at the truth and some people can take it and say, right, that's the truth and we'll move on. Other people grab that and think, okay, we better get some kind of retribution for this. And if you don't live, you haven't lived in Ireland...
And that is your reason for concealing the truth?
I'm still speaking. If you haven't lived in Ireland through the Troubles, where there were bombs going off, like people being killed, it's still falling off into this 21st century. You don't understand. And I think putting these monuments...
I do know that the bombing of Dublin and Monaghan were concealed. And I know that the bombing of Omagh was concealed. And I know that people involved and the Irish government and British government, of course, are responsible, do not want to know.
Yeah.
They're trying to conceal it.
We know that, and that's all been investigated. But how long will the investigation go on? I know, but do you want to put a monument up about that too? And then, you know, you just can't keep going back to the past. There are times when you have to actually move forward and accept that bad things happened and it's time to move on. And
but
maybe
concealing the truth
on Mr. Trump moving forward.
Isn't it?
I think there's a lot of work to be done in America with Mr. Trump, and maybe your energy should be spent
over
there now.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Another insult.
Okay, back after this break.
Stay
there, Paul, and Chris. 51551.
Yo, Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Michael Blanche is involved, I'm told, in a committee for the commemoration of Irish famine victims. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, we mark graves, unmarked famine graves as well. And we have two done, one ready to go. One up in Newry, the first in 2014. We got permission. Off Moran District Council and Newry and Moran District Council, and in St James's Hospital, which is the South Dublin Union, just beside the Lewis bus stop, is another memorial there. The South Dublin Union, and we have now permission for the North Dublin Union, which is on the grounds of Carmichael House, which was a fever hospital at the time and an overfeed from the workhouse.
I know you say you got permission, and have you come across any of Chris Fogarty's memorials, the mystery memorials?
No, we haven't come across them, but I was down on Wooden Bridge on Sunday, and behind the Wooden Bridge Hotel, we went in, and there's a stone. Now, it's in the middle of a forest, very heavily overgrown, and the marker has on it MH 1847, which would be in the height of Black 47, the famine, and there's like a little grotto beside it, but that will have to be researched and investigated to find out.
And what's the wording on your memorials? I know it's difficult, history is difficult, and to get an agreed wording or whatever, but what is
It's the Irish famine victims, 1845-1851.
And do you mention genocide, or do you mention starving?
It's a plain white marker. It'd be very like the First World War memorials, with a black plaque inscribed in white writing.
Okay. Chris Fogarty, you know Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall are in the Republic at the moment.
I think I saw that on internet yesterday.
What do you? Would you like them to visit one of your memorials?
It doesn't really involve them.
Well, he is head of a number of British regiments.
That's true. In fact, he was the head of the regiment that perpetrated Bloody Sunday, if I remember right.
So, would you like him to? Would you tell him where the memorials are? If he said, "I'd love to go."
That would be appropriate for him to see what the army had done over the years.
Okay. So, do you want to tell us where they are?
No.
So, how does Prince Charles? How will he know where to find them?
He can ring me. But in any event, what we have going on here now is an attempt to conceal. For the last 20 years...
No, you're the one that's concealing. I'm saying, where are the public memorials so we can reveal? You're saying, I'm not telling you. And then you're saying, Joe, you're trying to conceal.
You're trying to conceal the role of the British Army in the genocide of Ireland. For many years now, November 3rd has been Irish Holocaust Commemoration Day. November 3rd, because on that date in 1845, a delegation of Irishmen went to Lord Heytesbury in the Viceregal Lodge and begged him to stop removing the food. Instead, he read to them from a paper about potatoes and blight.
Okay.
On that date, there are two events commemorated. Once, the beginning of the Holocaust, and number two, the beginning of the big lie of potato famine. The word famine is a misnomer. Ireland's consciences have rebelled against the word famine from the very beginning. George Bernard Shaw among them. Stop using the word famine. It is a cover-up. But that is what Mr. Blanche is doing in Dublin today.
Okay. I haven't had time for Michael to reply, but Michael's another very well respected local historian. By the way, Christine Keneally's books, and she has some tomes under her belt, This Great Calamity, that was widely and very positively reviewed in 94. I remember it. Death Defying Famine, 97. Charity and the Great Hunger, 2013. A New History of Ireland, 2004. All published by reputable publishers again and again and again, which means they are accepted. So thank you, Professor Christine Keneally. Oh, by the way, my sincere apologies. I think I referred to Jeremy Paxman as Jonathan at one stage. Pat O'Carney was on sound. Laura Lee Davis is the broadcast coordinator. Rebecca Meehan produced. And Angus McAnally is the series producer. And Ray Darcy is next.